You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 197 of the Healthy Critters Radio on Horse Radio Network. Healthy Critters Radio is brought to you by BioStar US. Find them online at BioStarUS.com.
On today's show, we share tips on how to read your horse. Critter of the show is the Labrador Retriever. Critter Nutrition focuses on collagen for connective tissues. And in Coffee Clatch, we ask what naughty thing your horse, dog, or cat does that makes you laugh. Join us. Hi, I'm Tigger.
And I'm Patty.
And I'm Coach Jen. Welcome to the circus that is Healthy Critters Radio. Yay! Everyone is home from Wellington now. Is that right?
I say most people are home from Wellington, or at least half of them are.
Well, the two people in the room with me are home, and that's the important
yes.
ones, right?
Yes.
Right.
I didn't go, so I've been home all winter.
And this is the part of the show regulars hereabouts will know, where I ask some probing question of Tigger and Patty to help warm them up for the creative and entertaining and education time that Healthy Critters is. And today's question is laundry. Yes.
Oh,
laundry is your question.
This is what we've done to her. Okay.
This is what you've. This is your fault. You asked for it. You didn't have something.
No,
laundry it is.
I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Patty, what is your go-to laundry routine for horse and other pet laundry?
I think it's I do all like fragrance-free. I think it's called Tide Free, and it has nothing else in it. I was actually using Meyer's soap for a while. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's supposed to be all clean and organic, but that gets expensive, and it literally has no suds. So I think it's Tide is what it's called, but it's all free of chemicals and dyes and all that good stuff. Just good, clean suds.
Now, do you do pet and horse laundry in the same washing machine as the family's laundry gets done?
I do the dog stuff in the same one that the family gets done, but the horse stuff, there's a washer and dryer at the barn.
Ooh, so well, aren't you special?
Well, I got a lot of horses. Somebody's got to do
that. So with your saddle pads in particular, because it's shedding season, do you, how often do you wash saddle pads?
Well, 98% of my horses are clipped, so there isn't a huge shedding issue. I tend to use one saddle. I use every horse has all of their own stuff. That way I don't tend to use saddle pads on other horses. So my saddle pads, I generally, I'll use for about 4 days this time of year and then change them out. In the summer, I probably go every 3 days because it's so hot.
All right. Now, and then when you wash them, you always just put them in the washing machine with laundry detergent, wash, dry, done.
Yes. Don't put them in the dryer.
No dryer. Oh, interesting. No dryer. Okay.
No, I mean, I have stuff that I've had for probably 20 some years because I don't dry it.
Very interesting. Yeah. Now, do things like barn towels and leg wraps get any kind of a different treatment than saddle pads, or does it all get done the same?
Yes. So I, because of how hot we are here, I don't use polo wraps anymore. I think it heats their legs up too much, so I don't use them. I mean, I could use them in the winter, but I've gotten out of the habit of it. So all their boots are washed and not put in the dryer. The towels are dried. all of that stuff I'll dry. I just don't dry stuff that I can think will shrink, or I mean, I don't care if I have to replace the towels, but I probably replace booths every 2 or 3 years. But yeah. Again, I feel like if you dry, it's harder on them.
Yeah.
And no, I have some booths.
They do last forever that way, don't they? One last laundry question.
Yeah.
Are the barn towels handy downs from the house, or are they specially purchased towels for the barn?
Yes, both.
Whatever towel you can get your hands on.
Right. Yeah, both. A little bit of both.
Alrighty. Okay, Tigger, you're up next. You have how many dogs now?
That live with me 7, but I own 9.
A revelation. I did not know that. You've been holding out on us.
Well, 2 live with the handler.
The dirty little secret Tigger has here.
That's
so
right.
when it comes to dog laundry, because that's the main hairball creator in your life.
Yes.
Now, do you have dog beds that your dogs use that need washed? Yeah.
Yes. But I don't wash them as regular as I would wash a saddle pad.
Well,
so,
no, probably not.
You know, when they get really gross, then I wash them. In between being gross, I'll put a towel on them.
There we go.
Because they're large beds.
It's like a seat cover.
Wrestling to get them out of, them out to watch them. And then getting them back, putting them back in. It's like, it takes Peter and I, the two of us, because most of our beds have the little armrest back, like a couch. Yeah.
What do they call that? A bolster. The bolster.
A bolster, yes. Yeah. Yes. So as great as they are for the dogs, washing them is a whole nother challenge. So now when we have to give a dog a bath or something, then those towels immediately get washed.
Yeah, there's nothing more joyful than the smell of wet dog.
Yeah, I'm very fastidious about that. Yeah. Or cleaning up, vomit.
Yeah, all those good things.
Towels.
So do you have a particular soap product that you prefer to use for that sort of thing? Or is it just the same stuff you use for everybody else's clothes?
I use the same thing. It's 7th generation. And sometimes I'll splurge for my my own sheets and stuff, and I'll use a frankincense and myrrh laundry detergent that's made by Indigo Wild. And it just smells like frankincense and myrrh. So, but that's a splurge. I don't do that for the dogs.
Well, after all, they were gifts for somebody pretty special. So there you go.
Yes, exactly.
So again, now do these things go in the dryer at your house, or are you a line dryer?
Oh, I am a dryer and dryer person. Especially towels, because I like them fluffy.
Yes.
Peter likes to hang them out, and then they're stiff. And
they're crunchy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate a fluffy towel, too.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
And if I was a dog, I would want a fluffy towel.
Well, there you go. See? One of the things that we used to do back in the day, and I got this idea from one of the lovely ladies who worked for us, up in Massachusetts, where we were at the time, very sandy soil. So the saddle pads got sweaty, but not really dirty, because if their coat is sandy and dirty, you get a different kind of sweaty, gooey mess than you do if they have soil that has clay in it. That sweaty, dirty is different. It's practically glue. You have to sandblast it to get it off of a saddle pad. Versus when you live in sandy soil, you really just need to rinse the sand off of it. So what we would do is, at the end of the day, take all the saddle pads and put them on the wash rack and just hose them off and hang them back up again. And that was very effective because, like you said, Patty, the saddle pads didn't wear out as fast. Mm-hmm. And at that particular barn, we had a string of about a dozen school ponies and plus all the working horses too. So there was a lot of saddle pads. So that was an efficient way of doing things. And then we just used regular old detergent up there. We didn't have anything special, although I have a tendency to choose. You're going to love me for this, guys. I'm prepared to be slaughtered and get hate mail for this. I buy the cheapest, nastiest, smelliest powder laundry detergent I can at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. The label isn't even in, so I can't even tell you what it's called or
like
what's
Purex.
Something. I don't know what it is. It's not even in English, but it really gets skanky horse stuff clean. Because you know how sometimes you wash horse stuff and it comes out and it still smells like a horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I do. Yeah. But what I do is, because I use that gnarly stuff, I do put my washing machine on double rinse to make sure all the soap comes out of it. Yeah.
So what do you use for, like, your clothes?
The people clothes in our home have to have the hypoallergenic, dye-free, everything-free. I think it's all brand that we use just because that's what we have available and it's a reasonable price, but it has to be dye free, color free, smell free, just because there's allergies in our house. So that's what the people stuff gets. And whenever we had a dog, the dog also got the super duper extra nasty foreign language soap. Because doggone it, once it's washed, I don't want it to smell like the creature that usually lives on it anymore.
Yeah, sometimes that odor is really hard to get rid of.
Yes, and we live in a very small house, you know. So if it's two people and a dog, there's not a lot of cubic yards of air.
Yeah.
That's important.
Try seven.
Try seven. Nine, dear, nine. Now we know.
No, but two don't live with me.
You're crazy. You're the crazy dog lady, and we haven't known all these years.
In the flesh.
Crazy dog lady. Wow. And while we're confessing things, do you have any secret animals we don't know about, Patty?
Yeah, I have six dogs.
No.
I have six dogs. Yeah, I just unfortunately lost one of my cats last week. I have 15 chickens.
Well, 15 chickens, I'll forget. Dogs? Yeah, but
wait,
six dogs. Six?
You have four dogs.
Yeah. Well, I just got Peter a hunting dog. A bird dog. Labrador.
Hence
the breed of the show.
Hence the breed of the show.
But that makes it five dogs.
But did I say six?
You did.
Yes.
I have five. Darn it. I have five. You're right. Sorry.
Patty, despite the fact that she only has five dogs, is a crazy dog lady because she doesn't really know how many she has.
Yeah, that's
no.
True.
Tigger known me a long time. There sometimes wasn't a limit. Tigger got me a hat once that said, one cannot have too many dogs. And she was correct, because I think at that point I may have had 14. Granted, I was fostering some, but still.
So there we go. That if you have a particular laundry routine that you find particularly effective, or if you have a laundry routine that highlights your OCD, we'd like to hear about it. We would like to hear about it. You can give me drop me an email. Jennifer Horse Radio Network. Head on over to biostarus.com online and drop Tigger an email. She'd love to hear about it too. And maybe if it's crazy enough, we'll talk about it on the show.
Yes, exactly. So we're now at roundtable and we're discussing how to read your horse. I found this really wonderful article on AQHA.com called How to Read Your Horse. Was written in January, published January 2nd, 2019. And it kind of breaks up the different parts of the horse. So starting with the ears, Patty, what do the ears tell you? What do the ears tell us about the horse?
That's so interesting because, you know, depending on your horse, I have some horses that keep their ears very, very forward and they're being very friendly. And I have other horses that put their ears back when they want to be pet. Not that they're pinned back, but they'll like reach over the stall to be loved on or whatever. And their ears go back because they're stretching their neck. But in, you know, normally if their ears go back, you're generally thinking that they're being a little angry with you. But I have a couple horses that when they stretch over, they put their ears back and they want to be scratched. So depending on the horse, it can be either or.
How about you, Jennifer?
Ears could do, they show every emotion a horse can have.
Yep.
They do them all. What I find so very interesting is I learned these things late in life. I wasted my youth. There, it's not just the position of the ear, it's the tension in the ear, because there's ears back and there's ears back. There's ears forward, there's ears forward. There are ears sticking out to the sides, but particularly Nigel's taught me this a little bit, because he can be subtle when he spooks or something at something, or is startled or afraid of something. He gives me lots and lots of clues that that's about to happen. Yeah. He's not one of those horses that's quick. The problem was I didn't recognize those clues. I've learned to recognize the clues now. And it's very much a case of whether or not there's tension in the ear more yeah. than where the ear is. Hello. Mm-hmm.
This article points out, which I thought was very interesting, the rate at which the ears move.
Interesting.
The speed.
Oh.
So if the ears are moving back and forth, you know, that's an attentive horse, right? He's paying attention to what's going on. But if the horse's ears suddenly go forward, that means the horse is alarmed. If the horse's ears stay upright and they're not working back and forth, it could mean that the horse is aloof or bored, or he could be concentrating. When the horse's ears go back suddenly, that's the horse is angry or resisting. So this article focused on more of the speed at which the ears moved.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was interesting. Yeah. Okay, tail.
I think you're up, Patty.
Yep, Patty.
Oh, okay. Obviously, if the tail is swishing back and forth, obviously the horse is probably a little irritated or tense. I have some horses that lift their tails kind of away from their body when they are starting to really get loose over their back, which is wonderful. I have one horse that is kind of funny because he did it to me today. He literally knows where you're standing, and he just likes to give you, you know, your kids and your brothers or sisters, even maybe your mom and dad wrap up a wet towel and kind of snap at you. That's what this horse does. And he nails me. And I think he's just, he's not generally irritated. I think he does it because he thinks he's funny. but obviously, when they start swishing their tails, they're more irritated.
Jennifer?
Swishing tails are irritated. I think I'm going to agree with that. There is some kind of an irritation going on, whether it's mental or physical. Could be something as just as gentle as tickling something on their skin, but it can be. But I think. Yeah, I'm going with it. Although I think mares and geldings use their tails differently.
Yeah.
I think.
Agreed.
I think mares are much more prone to tail action than geldings are. I think geldings, it's a general case of I'm cranky or insulted, or
it's pretty black and white.
It's pretty black versus mares. I think there's a lot more subtlety to the tail action. Yeah.
Again, this article points out something I hadn't even thought of. With a horse that's really relaxed and laid back, confident, and in correct self-carriage, the tail usually lies right next to his hip. That's why the practice of altering tails started, to make the horse look really relaxed and accepting, even if he isn't.
Oh.
I didn't even know about altering tails.
Well, that's alarming.
It's a all too oft practice that is quite against the rules. But yes, the practice of fooling around with the horse's tails, nerve endings, or ability to swat their tail is something that you hear about in a lot of.
Well, I never thought of the tail lying right next to his hip. I usually think of it extending for balance. You know, that it's coming.
I understand. I think partly looking at the source material, the quarter horse breed has a tendency to have a much lower tail carriage.
Set, yeah.
And their tail set is a little bit lower than your typical warm blood or hot-blooded horses, a thoroughbred even. I think that might be why they phrased it in that way. But
okay.
I think it's pretty well accepted that a horse that is sound and straight carries his tail straight.
Yep.
And it is carried, I'm going to use my air quotes, naturally. Mm-hmm. It's not overly stuck up in the air flag tail.
Right.
And it's also not clamped down between their little butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The next part of the horse's body is the mouth.
You're up, Patty.
Well, I guess I'm just going to go right to riding. Obviously, in dressage, we are we should be very aware of what their mouths are doing, and we prefer them to be salivating quietly and maybe chewing a bit, but not open. So, while riding, obviously, we want that to be the case. If it's open, that can, lead to whether they're being stressed or on their forehand or not properly bitted, or maybe their teeth aren't done. Just to name a few.
Just to name a few. Yeah, there we go.
Jennifer?
Oh, for me, it's all about the lips. Whether or not they're... And each horses have facial expressions in their lips and their eyes. And from my point of view, at least, what they're doing with their lips is very personal. Some horses have naturally pursed kind of lips, and other horses have naturally kind of flappy lips. But if you look very, very carefully at the surface muscles that create those little wrinkles on their lips, and I'm putting my hands over my mouth, so sorry about that, people. But if you watch that very, very carefully, you can see what the horse is feeling, whether or not he's feeling tense or relaxed or excited. For example, the tension they get on their lips when they're excited because they're about to get dinner is not the same as the tension they get on their lips when a miniature donkey is approaching. Both create tension in the lips because it's creating an excitable reaction for the horse. But they're two different things. One's excitement that's good, and one is excitement that's, oh my God, I'm going to die. So it's fun to watch those lips in different horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a horse with a flappy lip, especially when they do the flappy lip with the lower lip. But for some horses, that's a stress relievable. They flap their lower lip. That's them chewing on their fingernails to release tension. Yeah. But when their lower lip kind of gets saggy and floppy and it drools a little bit, it's so cute.
Well, in this article, the guy or woman, doesn't say who authored it, has an interesting point of view about a horse that sticks his tongue out and hangs it out. To me, that says he lacks something in intelligence, attitude, or temperament.
Really?
Yeah, I've never read that before.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
To me, that usually indicates he needs his teeth done.
That usually indicates to me that he needs a different kind of bit. But so I thought that was an interesting, hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that has its roots, and I don't know if it does or not. This is just throwing spaghetti at the wall. If it has its roots back in the day, when a horse hung his tongue out the mouth, somebody had a horse that hung his tongue out the mouth that was a difficult horse to train or ride or compete. Therefore, it was perceived as lacking intelligence because, you know, back in the day, a horse that was hard to train was dumb, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Very interesting.
Okay. And finally, the eyes. Patty?
I love eyes. I think the eyes tell a lot. I used to ride a lot of stallions, and I had one stallion in particular, and I would come into the barn every day, and I would ask my groom, how do Asm's eyes look today? And she would say, today's not going to be a good day. Be prepared. And she was always right. And he would just, they'd be like a little bit more furrowed or tense looking. And other days I would come in and they'd be soft and sweet. And I knew it'd be, a better day. I think there's so much you can tell from eyes. Like that's such a big thing. I think you can tell a lot of health from their eyes. A lot about their personality. I often buy a horse because of the shape and the look in their eyes. Because I just think it's the doorway to their soul.
Yes.
So but eyes are a big one for me.
Jennifer?
Eyes. Again, it's a little bit like lips in that their eyes will show you everything they're feeling. But I think eyes are maybe a little bit less individual. I think when I look at eyes, I'm more prone to generalize. An eye that is wide open and that little pointy bit above their eye where if it was a person, they would have an eyebrow and look like Dr. Spock. When that's pointed up, they're looking and focusing very hard on something. Or an eye that is not wide open but has lots and lots of wrinkles around the bottom is a horse that's very looking inward and is concerned about something. Maybe he's in pain. Versus lips, I'm much more apt to say this particular horse is feeling something about those lips. With a horse's eyes, I'm liable to say, when he does that, he's always this way. But I agree with Patty. And I absolutely cannot put it in words, that whole old-fashioned horseman's term that a horse has to have a soft eye or an intelligent eye or what they used to call pig eyes, which were just a squinty little beady eye kind of a thing. I think that absolutely holds true. But I cannot tell you in words what a soft eye or a kind eye or an intelligent eye looks like.
No, you have to see it.
Yeah, it's either there or not. I will point at the horse and say yes or no. But I cannot tell you if it's the angle of their eyelashes, how wide they are, how wide they're set. I can't tell you. Don't know.
Well, again, the article has an interesting observation. If the facial skin underneath the lower lid wrinkles, beware. That horse is mad.
Oh. There we go. I would agree in that anger could be attributed to that facial expression. I have a tendency to put the word worry in there, but But so, if the horse gets sufficiently worried, he's liable to snap, and that could be perceived as anger.
Yeah. Or if he's in significant pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how to read your horse.
Here we go. Fun little article. Where did you find that again?
AQHA.com.
There we go. Who knew?
Who knew?
Hetty.
Oh, hello, Hetty P.
Hetty!
How are you? How are you doing?
Well, I think we all know that I'm a little cranky with you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I hear that the stupid Dutch Warmblood was disappointing, and now I have been reappointed to my show.
Well, you do have a way, shall we say, a flair of expressing your feelings, and I think people admire that.
Well, of course they do.
Mm-hmm.
Your fans, so I have missed a question. They commented.
Yeah,
where's Hetty?
Did anyone consider starting today's program with a fervent welcoming back of me, the star of the show?
No, we were very remiss.
I would say, I mean, yes, you were remiss. Correct word usage, remiss. And a bit rude.
Well, can I suffice with a question, a Hedwig question?
Is it going to be boring?
No. No, it, of course not. Not when you answer it. It's always, it's never boring.
All right, go
so
ahead.
You're back. Thank you. You're back from Wellington, correct? You're back
yes.
home? Okay, so my question is, because it's a long drive home, what is your favorite thing about traveling back home?
The part where we get out of the truck for the last time. Do you know how long that took? Oh, my Lord. That took my whole life twice.
So that was a long dog year?
I think she drove backwards for most of it. She was so slow. Oh, my gosh. Also, my sister nearly died one time, so that was upsetting.
And
yes, well, she fell headfirst into the side pocket of the truck and then couldn't breathe.
Oh, God, no.
And we were stuck going about 20 miles an hour. And there was nowhere to pull over, really. So the servant illegally pulled over and removed my sister from the side pocket of the truck where she had achieved an attractive purple color.
That's pretty brave of your servant.
I think she was worried my sister would die. I alerted her to the issue. You see, what happened was my sister fell into the pocket in the back seat, and the servant was driving, not paying any attention to dogs because she's such a selfish cow. And so I began barking and barking and barking and barking and barking and barking and barking to alert her to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so she turned around and saw that my sister was missing. And there was no way for my sister to have fallen out of the truck. So she knew that something must be amiss.
Well, that's because you alerted her to it.
Saved everyone.
It sounds like it. It sounds like the constant barking was probably very relaxing as your servant realized she had to pull over in a place where she couldn't pull over. So that was good on you.
Exactly. I'm a hero.
I think that's really the message of today, is that Hetty, once again, is a hero.
Yes, and well, needs a medal.
Well,
absolutely.
And needs a medal.
At least some bacon.
Or
there
cheese.
We go. Bacon for Hetty.
Yay. Yeah.
Well,
thanks for coming back, Hetty.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye, Hetty.
Oh, bye-bye.
So we are at the critter part of our show, and I often like to do animals that are in my life. And we just recently acquired a Labrador Retriever puppy, one of which I've never had. Tigger, have you ever had a lab?
I have.
That doesn't surprise me. They're such great dogs, it doesn't surprise me. I've had this puppy 4 days. It's for my husband. It's he's supposed to be a hunting dog, but I think we just acquired another pet. but they are so sweet, and they're just one of the sweetest, kindest puppies I've ever met. They're so well known for many things, but mainly all around an incredibly loving dog, which obviously it sounds like you agree. All right, so let's dive in. The Labrador Retriever is definitely a friendly, very energetic, playful dog. It was originally bred for sporting and hunting, but is widely kept as a companion dog for obvious reasons. I think it's easy to say that all Labrador Retrievers love or seek out water. I have found that out very quickly. puppy hike. And Ike thinks that mud puddles are the best. We'll get back to that later. interesting, I wanted to do a little research about them because I literally know nothing about them, but they date back to the 1830s where they were originally bred by European settlers in Newfoundland, and they were bred to help retrieve actually fish and fowl, which I thought was interesting. They were known as the Lesser Newfoundland because it's more of a medium-sized dog versus the large Newfoundland, and they have even been known to, because they're very good swimmers, to pull small boats.
Really?
Fun fact.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There are several different colors. Black is the most common. There's chocolate and yellow. And sometimes the chocolate can be referred to as liver, which is more of an earlier on in the breed. They are a medium to large size dog. The males can get up to from 55 to 80 pounds, which is a lot. I know of a 90 pounder. Females are 55 to about 70 pounds. Their coat is short and dense, but not very wiry. Their coat is also water resistant, which is awesome, hence them being in the water. It also helps them from not getting too cold in the water when they're hunting in the winter. But they actually have hollow hair that helps them swim. Who knew? I had known, like, there's like little hollow hair that helps them swim better. They do have a double coat, which means that even though they're not a long-haired dog, they still will shed like my Australian Shepherds at least twice a year. I think one of my favorite things about labs that I've ever met, especially in a well-bred lab, and mine I think is mainly or all English bred, they tend to be a little bit more stout and bigger-headed, but their heads tend to be very broad and slightly pronounced eyebrow, and they just have the most lovely expression.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting. They can live up to 13 years. Blacks tend to live the longest, yellows second, and chocolate having the lesser lifespan due to the diluted genes, which I think is interesting. Also, yeah. There's a whole article on how the different temperaments in their color. So black really? Tends to be, I have to go back and look at it. Black was the best all around. I think yellow was the more family-oriented kind of companion dog. And I think the chocolates tended to be a little bit, I'm going to use the word sharp, but I don't think Labradors tend to be sharp, but they tend to
spicy.
Have, spicy, good word. They're widely known for being obviously an amazing hunting dogs, but they're also used for guide dogs. They're very bright and trainable and loving. Their energy level can also remain calm, but easily trained. However, saying that, they are an energetic dog. They are not good apartment dogs. They need to be exercised at the minimum of 30 minutes to, hopefully an hour a day. But as far as hunting, they're highly intelligent, have great intuition and self-direction on land and in water. Kind of interesting. And just playing with these, having a dog, my Aussies are great retrievers. And they were from the start, but the difference between a bird dog retrieving and an Aussie retrieving, it's more of like sight versus nose, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Labradors were actually used in the war in Vietnam. I thought this was interesting. They were used as scout dogs to track down dead or wounded soldiers or find an enemy positions because they have such incredible noses. They're generally a very healthy breed with very few problems. However, one thing to be cautioned about, most Labradors as they get older are prone to obesity. which can obviously then lead to hip dysplasia and elbow dysplasia. The chunkier they get, the worse it is on their body. So it's important to keep a good routine of exercise and not overfeeding them or over-treating them. But lastly, which I thought was kind of a cool thing, Endel was a service dog in Britain, and he is the most decorated dog in the world, including Dog of the Millennium. He was a yellow lab, and he and his owner handler had been filmed over 350 times by different crews in several different countries for all of the different things that he did. But he was most decorated dog in the world, which I thought was kind of interesting. I didn't even know they decorated dogs. And there's even a film, A Year in the Life of Endo. So I'm going to look that up, and I will watch that, and I will report on that next time.
Real horses and real dogs are healthier, perform better, and recover more quickly on real food. That's why BioStar empowers horse and canine owners with 100% whole food nutrition, supplements, and feeding programs. BioStar products are made at their own certified non-GMO facility in Gordonsville, Virginia, using real food ingredients that are raw, freeze-dried, or dehydrated, never cooked, and are free from artificial flavors, colors, soy, corn, wheat, and molasses. The BioStar product line includes a wide range of whole food, horse and dog supplements, treats, and unique artisan poultices that embrace the ancient and traditional uses of clay and plants. Visit BioStarUS.com today and learn about whole foods and canine and equine nutrition so you can make the best decisions about the care and health of your horses and dogs. That's BioStarUS.com. Whole food nutrition the way nature intended.
And now we're at Critter Nutrition, and we're focusing on collagen for connective tissue support. Collagen is an amazing protein. It is the most abundant protein in mammals, comprising up to 35% of the whole body protein content. And it's considered one of the most useful biomaterials known. The body creates and uses collagen to provide strength and elasticity to connective tissue, to heal wounds, support osteoarthritic joints, reduce gastroesophageal reflux, repair GI tract damage, assist in skin regeneration, and improve mineral bone density. Collagen is the main structural protein of the extracellular matrix in the body's connective tissue. The extracellular matrix, known as ECM, is a non-cellular component within all tissues and organs. It is a structural scaffold that directs cell adhesion, cell migration, and regulates cellular growth. Collagen is the major component of bone, skin, muscles, tendons, and cartilage. The amino acid L-proline is an essential component of collagen and is important for proper functioning of joints and tendons. Collagen also provides the specific amino acid hydroxyproline, which is the major component of the connective tissues. When connective tissue is damaged, hydroxyproline is necessary for repairing the damaged area. Collagen is an excellent source of the amino acid L-arginine, which supports nitric oxide production for increased circulatory support. BioStar is introducing our new Ligatend Collagen EQ. It uses a patented native eggshell membrane collagen. Unlike bovine or porcine collagens, the patented native eggshell membrane collagen BioStar uses is extracted in Spain with water and mechanical presses. No chemicals are used in its production. Our native eggshell membrane collagen requires a much lower dosage than other food-sourced collagens due to its non-chemical extraction process, which maintains the collagen molecule's biologically active form. It is not denatured. Native eggshell membrane also provides chondroitin sulfate, glucosamine, hyaluronic acid, elastin, and keratin. Native collagen has a specific immune-mediated mechanism known as oral tolerance, which inhibits inflammation and tissue catabolization at the articular level. Benefits of Ligaten with collagen: provides the body with what it needs to naturally heal and repair connective tissue. Can be used to support healthy connective tissue in the long term or for more immediate situations. Ligaten with collagen may also be beneficial for horses with osteoarthritis. A 2022 human study showed that native collagen demonstrated statistically significant effects in improving joint health and quality of life in individuals with osteoarthritis compared with a positive control combination of glucosamine hydrochloride and chondroitin sulfate. Maintaining healthy connective tissue and managing injuries to ligaments and tendons is an important aspect of horse care, especially for athletes. With BioStar's Ligaten collagen, owners, riders, and trainers now have another important tool in their toolbox to help horses stay sound and healthy.
That's interesting, that because, I mean, chondroitin and glucosamine have been sort of the standard for a long time, that there's something new available.
And that study is 2022.
So that's new.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the egg collagen has a broader effect on the body versus the glucosamine chondroitin, which is really
for sure
pretty joint specific.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Cool.
And now we're at Coffee Klatch. And the question is, what naughty thing does your horse or dog or cat do that makes you laugh? I'm going to start with my Aussie Wookie. Wookie is a true badass in every sense of the word. But the funny thing, among the funny things that she does, is when I have two boy Aussies out in the dog paddock with her, she treats them like they're sheep. And she stands and holds them with her eyes and her posture. And they don't move. She didn't let them in the house the other night. She stood on the top step and held their gaze, and they didn't move a muscle, and I couldn't get her in the house.
I guess we know who's queen of the castle, don't we?
Totally.
You know who's running.
Oh, the boys just they just froze. And if they move, she goes like a bullet and chases them, like she would an errant sheep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it makes me laugh.
It probably doesn't make the boys laugh. They're probably going, "Mom, come on."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let us in. Let us in.
Why does she get to behave like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Patty?
Well, this actually happened this morning. It's my, my husband, Peter, is only home 3 nights out of the week. And when he's home, because I have so many dogs, and actually it's not the Aussies that tend to be the problem. It's the Frenchies, who, somebody has Frenchies. They're, I have one that's the weight of a brick and the other is a cinder block. And when they get in bed, they don't move. And they also snore and fart. So that's just, these are just facts. The dogs just, they figured out when dad's home, we're not allowed to get in the bed because he needs to be in his bed. But Burke, Burke is very stealthy and very quiet.
Yeah,
like
he's
late.
An Aussie. Let's make that clear.
He's an Aussie. Yes, he's an Aussie. He does not snore. And basically if he farts, it smells like peaches because he's perfect in every way. Except for this one little thing. So he will try to get up. Like it's like he jumps onto the bed like a feather, but then he lays down like a rock. And, you know, and Peter's always like, oh, you've got to get off the bed. You know, he gets off the bed. The minute Peter gets out of the bed this morning, and this was at 4 a.m, he gets up into the bed. He gets on Peter's pillow. He gets under the covers. And then he rolls towards me and he takes his left paw and he just like reaches that out and he wants to hold hands. And so I try to cover him. So Peter catches it. But I don't know. I just think it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And then in the interim, Ketch, who is my other Aussie, who is truly an athletic. I mean, he is a major soccer player. I mean, this dog's an athlete. He can land and no one knows he's there. And he'll like peek up. Now, no one ever sees him because he's so quiet, but Burke will see him come from underneath the covers and try to yell at him to get off the bed. But it's so stupid. But at 4 a.m, when you have to get up, it's a delightful thing to witness that my dogs are stealthy, minx-like, and try to get under the covers.
Jennifer?
Oh, I probably have mentioned this one before, but Nigel, my also known as Big Lumbering Oaf, any container, doesn't matter what's in the container, doesn't even matter if the container is empty, any container must be investigated, emptied, and turned over. Period. Just any container. Bucket, barrel, box, doesn't matter. He's going to go over there. He's going to tip it over. He's going to take everything out of it. He doesn't do anything with any of it. He just takes it out. And, okay. I've seen everything in this box. I've never had a horse like that before that, you know, a lot of horses will want to investigate a bucket because a bucket could potentially have food, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For him, it's any container or even object. When the farrier comes, oh my gosh. The mess he makes of the farrier's things. Oh, yeah. But it's so cute.
It sounds like he's a private investigator. He's like, he's going in and checking stuff out.
I think you're right. He's a little bit of a PI.
He's a PI. Yeah.
That's it. You're right. You've nailed it. Now I feel better. Thank you. Thank you, Patty.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I have one more funny dog naughty thing. Kenobi is my youngest. He's a year. And he likes to bark. And not just randomly. He has very serious messages that he's telling me, right? There's somebody outside, there's a delivery truck. You know, he's not just an annoying barker.
Zombie apocalypse, any of
those. Right. But I taught him when he was a puppy that when I'm in bed, you do not get on the bed and bark in my ear. That is an absolute no-no. What he does is when he thinks I've overslept by 5 minutes, because he is the timekeeper of the house, he comes over to me and he goes,
not really barking. Not really barking.
And it's so sweet and polite that and it's in my ear. Or he's standing, you know, straddling me. And, you know, I have to get up because it makes me smile and I appreciate that he's being polite about it.
He's doing
that. I'm sure. So, Tigger, you, you have to video this, or at least let us hear it record, because that I'm sure is adorable.
It's adorable.
He's doing the Aussie version of the Roo.
Yeah, Roo.
And he's learning how to howl.
Yeah.
With the rest of the pack, and he sounds like a rooster that's learning, you know.
Oh my goodness. So if you have a dog, cat, bunny, parakeet, who has a habit that is both annoying and adorable,
and
we want to hear about it. You can let us know. Head on over there to Healthy Critters Radio on Facebook. Drop us a line. And if we think it's adorable, maybe we'll talk about it on the show.
Yep.
Yep. There you go. This is episode 197 of the Healthy Critters Radio on health. Sorry.
Take two.